This is an ABC podcast.
You're with Amber and Sabrina for Roots and Shoots Gardening on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
We're in all the phone lines are free for the Saturday the 23rd of May version of Roots and Shoots. Get your calls in now. 1300
Come on down.
22 1025. Sabrina Hahn,
yes.
I made you a little present.
Oh, I love it when you make me presents.
It's an audio present.
They're the best.
I'm just going to fade that out and stop it from playing so that I can play you this. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm geared
up. I'm going to turn your microphone off.
Okay.
This is an ABC podcast.
First, there was Burning Man, a festival in the desert.
Burning Man is dangerous, but so is life.
Now, an endless suburban drama.
How do I prune it? Like a heavy prune or
no.
A trim around the edges?
No chainsaw required, Les.
What the heck? You've gone too far this time, Barry.
A tale as old as gardening itself.
Get your CPAP machine. You're sleeping in the spare room until it grows back.
From the cast and crew of Blood and Bone, this is Pruning Man.
There we go.
I love it. Hopper sounds really, sounds pretty scary in that, doesn't it?
Yeah. I was standing next to him going, harder, growlier, meaner. He takes direction well.
I love it.
Pruning Man.
Pruning Man.
The new documentary series from Hahn and Cunningham.
We should have had the noise of the stabby sabby going stabby on in sabby. The background.
So I would just like all you pruning men to come out of the woodwork today. Be brave. We will either grant you your pruning licence or not. You know, it depends on whether or not your wife says you're allowed to.
Yeah, and if you'll be allowed back in the house.
Yes, we are. Yeah, we're getting some lines going.
Oh, we are.
Dave's in there. Peter from Northampton says, what's this then? And he's got a photograph.
Whoa.
Can you audio describe the photograph?
I can audio describe this. This is known as a ponytail palm, and it is an oldie.
It's a whopper.
My God, it's got the biggest bum of any ponytail palm I've ever seen, and not only has it got a big bum, it's got just the way craziest hairdo because it's got about 16 branches coming from that big bulbous bum.
It's got as many ponytails as a class of year six girls.
It has and probably dyed about the same, I would say, the same colouring.
So there's a bit of blonde and a bit of green in
there.
Yeah.
Now that ponytail palm, Bocarnia is its proper name.
Mm-hmm.
Bocarnia, I reckon that would be as old as me, if not older.
Really?
Yeah, it's an old girl.
70.
Yeah, see, my bum hasn't got big, but my guts has. So I'm more like a boab tree than a Bocarnia, I have to say.
All right.
So ponytail palm, it's a really, really old specimen. It is magnificent. And deserves to be
preserved,
absolutely, and honoured.
Yeah, and given a name, Peter.
Yes,
from
name
Northampton.
Yeah,
give her a name.
Yep, she's a girl for sure.
She's definitely a girl.
Yeah, you can see all of her floriferousness.
Floriferousness. Mm. Now we have Leonie in Maribyrnong. Good morning to you, Leonie.
Hello, speaking to you from sunny Victoria.
Ah.
Did I pronounce Maribyrnong correctly?
Close enough. That's good enough.
What is it? Maribyrnong's fine. Maribyrnong. Okay, there we go. Yeah.
And whereabouts in Victoria is Maribyrnong?
So it's in Melbourne.
Right.
And we are close to the Maribyrnong River.
Beautiful.
Which I'm currently looking at the moment.
Is it chilly nips over there?
Oh, it's chilly, but the sun's now coming out, which is going to be a lovely day. It's been cold morning.
Beautiful.
Not that cold, not winter cold.
Well, what can we do for you over there in Victoria, Leonie?
Yeah, well, we're trying to plant lots of natives and putting in lots of native garden beds.
Yeah.
And we've got all of these Casuarina, what do you call them when they come in from the
she
roots?
Oaks. From, oh. Yeah. Oh, so you've got suckers coming up.
Suckers, that's yep. the word. Suckers yep. coming up everywhere.
Yep.
And we've tried using glyphosate yep. on the suckers, but they just laugh at that.
They will. They'll reject that.
Yeah, but I don't want the main trees are outside, just outside the property.
Right.
But I don't want to kill the main trees. I'm just wondering if we use blackberry and tree killer on the suckers, will that go back and kill the main tree?
No, because what you're going to do is you're just going to just hit the sucker, not the ground around it.
Yeah, paint it on.
And I would, if you've got lots and lots of suckers, don't do more than a third at each poisoning session.
Right. Okay. Mm. Yep. There's about three or four of the trees, so.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. So that's the only thing that's going to work, apart from if you know a farmer and they have really heavy duty stuff, which I wouldn't suggest either.
their shed is.
No, you won't have any luck with that either.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Leanne.
What are the proportions? Is it
60-40? 60-40. Kerosene to blackberry tree killer. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Thanks, Leonie.
Thanks, Leonie.
Paul is in Bunbury. Good morning, Paul. What ails your weeping mulberry?
Well, I've been given instructions from my wife to hack it back.
This is Pruning Man.
Okay. You've been given approval.
Oh, so you've
I'm
got
the Pruning Man.
Yeah.
But now, look, we've got the weeping mulberry. The story is, when it fruits, I'll change that. I have pruned it really harshly in the past.
Yep.
And I don't get any fruit then.
Right.
The following year.
When are you pruning your hard prune, Paul?
After all the leaves have dropped off.
Okay. So with mulberries, if you give any mulberry a really savage prune, you will not get much fruit for the following year. If you don't get fruit for 2 years in a row, you will need to change your pruning time, okay? So you can prune your mulberry when it is still in leaf but after fruiting has finished. So we're talking the end of February, end of March.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so if you want it for fruit, then you would do it then. And also that helps control the growth if you do a summer prune. If you do a winter prune, you're doing that because you want to control how big and how wide and the shape that you want it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
So now what people do is they get the pruning saw and they go zzzz all around the bottom, and they make a skirt. So that means the central at the top where the weeping mulberry grows at the very top, those branches get taller and taller and thicker, and it becomes a mess. So the proper way to prune a weeping mulberry is to actually take out a third of the stems completely where they come from the main trunk.
I've been taking every stem out of the main trunk.
Every stem?
And just left with like four or five main. It's old. It's 30 years old. But
he's definitely pruning, man, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
But I've only done it like we've been here 20 years and I've probably done it five times.
Okay, well, thank heavens for that is all I can say, Paul.
When I say the main trunk, there's five big
limbs come from that.
Leg thick, thick at the top of your leg.
Yes.
Whose leg? Yours or mine? She got them skinny legs.
And every little thin stem off that I've taken off, but that's to try and get shape to it.
Okay, so you would only need to do a prune like that once every 5 to 7 years.
I see. Okay.
Because the mulberry grows on the new growth.
Yeah.
And I can hear your wife in the background going, what's she telling you? Tell your wife you can listen back to the podcast. So only, but you've only done it three times in the mulberry's life. So, so the branches that come off the big thick leg branches that you've made, they are the ones that are going to give you fruit. So don't prune too many of those off.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Because that's your fruiting wood.
But comfortably, can I take, say, two-thirds off or one-third off?
How long ago did you give it the brutal prune, Paul?
Oh, 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay. I only let you take one-third off this year.
Okay.
Then see how she goes next year and you might be allowed to take two-thirds off. But you have to ring me first, Paul, and it'd be really good if you could send me a picture before you prune.
We'd hate to have to take your pruning license from you, Paul. I mean, it sounds like...
Well, I haven't killed it.
Yet. There's time.
I want a picture, Paul. I want a picture.
Today or, like, soon?
Soon.
The leaves are probably only 2 or 3 weeks before they're all gone.
Okay, once the leaves are gone, I want a picture after the leaves have dropped.
Paul, Maddie reckons you need to go into the sin bin.
It looks like a thick bird's nest at the moment. It's so thick.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. And you know those big leg filled limbs. You're allowed to take one of those off every 10 years.
Ones that are the thick as your I don't know.
My thigh. My arm.
No.
My guts.
Somewhere in between. They're either like an inch thick or they're 6 inches thick.
Oh, okay. All righties. Okay. Well, that's all right.
That's okay.
That's okay.
You're off the bench.
Hundreds that are a quarter of an inch.
Okay. Well, a quarter of an inch, they can probably go.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yep. All right.
Good luck with that, Paul. Thanks for calling.
I'll send you a photo in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay, thanks.
Sounds good.
Good boy. Carmel is in Cannington, and we have some photographs of Carmel's ficus, which looks distinctly unhappy and dry. Hi, Carmel.
Good morning. How are you both?
Yeah, very well, Carmel. You've got it in a rubbish bin, is it? No.
It actually is, but it's got holes at the bottom and it's got potting mix in it. So just to be able to have a big tub. It was transferred and it was fully green. I cut it back a little bit just to trim it.
Yeah.
But I think through summer, because it was undercover where it was, and then it's been exposed to the sun a lot.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it's sunburn or if it's actually, you know, a deficiency of nutrients or... I've given it trace elements, potting mix, the soil improver, and I use the carp.
The fish fertilizer.
Yeah. Correct.
It looks to me like it's getting too much water and the water's not draining away.
Oh, okay. All right.
How,
if that's what it is,
often are you watering it?
Well, I don't at all.
Well, it won't be that then. Well, it's going to be the opposite to that. It's going to be it needs to be watered.
Oh, well, it just gets whatever rain, and I would probably, you know, if I'm walking past with a cup of tea, I'll toss it on.
I'm calling the Department of Plant Welfare, Carmel. DPPW doesn't exist, but...
It's a ficus and they love water. So I would actually, with its cup of tea, I'd give it a good 2 litres of water to go with its cup of tea. And I think you'd find that... Because what happens when you transplant something is you cut all the roots off. So there's a limited root system. And if you don't water it, then they think, oh, well, that's it, I may as well die.
When I transplanted it, the whole pot went in with extra soil.
Okay.
So nothing under the ground was trimmed back.
Oh, you know okay. I mean. Well, you definitely need to water it.
Okay. Okay. And nothing else from what I've said, nothing else.
No, well, the cup of tea, I think, is fabulous. So keep up with your cup of tea. I think it'd enjoy that. And and your fish and the other stuff that you've done.
Okay.
2 litres of water for every cup of tea.
So 2 litres once a week?
No. 2 litres twice a week. Twice a week.
Twice a week, okay.
Yeah. Are you on are you on a shortage of water in your camp
No. I am a bit of water police, but no, my plants get more than anything else.
It's a fair size, so mm-hmm. 2 litres twice a week mm-hmm. and maybe even 4 cups of tea.
Carmel, you're okay, the best. Sweet. Thanks for calling and thanks for your honesty. It's a safe space. We won't mock you like we've mocked
other people.
We might, Brian. Brian, what have you been a good boy?
Brian, hello. Oh,
is that me?
Yeah, that's you.
We don't know. Is it you?
Normally it's Brian from St. James. I thought you were talking to someone else. So, look, I just want to say I miss how much fun you guys have on a Saturday morning in Roots and Shoots. And I want to know what you're on because I want some too.
Well, quite often I'm on a hangover, but I wouldn't recommend it.
No. Maybe it's a cup of tea. Who knows?
Yeah, a cup of tea.
Listen, I once again, I'm just wondering, Sabrina, if you can remind me about aphids besides the old squish method.
Yep.
I just got a whole load of Dutch iris in, and there was an infestation of these grey aphids.
Yep.
I've been spraying an organic pyrethrum, which distinctly smells like garlic, so if you...
Yep.
Want a bit of extra flavour garlic in your food, I'd suggest that because it distinctly smells of a lot of garlic.
Okie doke.
Anyway, look, it's just a reminder about in the olden days they used to say get some dishwashing liquid and spray it on or sprinkle it on, but I'm just wondering what your recommendations are, please.
Okay, wasn't back in the olden days they actually didn't have dishwashing liquid like we have today. What they did use was soap. Now, if you get there's a potassium-based soap that you can use for aphids, or in the olden days you used to be able to get a thing called sunlight soap. I don't know if they still make it. It was yellow, and that's a potassium-based soap. So the dishwashing liquid is really only if you're going to make your own oil spray, and that made it more viscous. So I would, if you want to go back to Nana's day, you go and get a bar of laundry soap and you grate it on a grater. And so you'd need 2 tablespoons of the laundry soap that your Nana used to wash her knickers in to 1 litre of water. And then you'd spray that. Or you can buy a potassium-based soap in a powder or a liquid form. You mix that with water and it's really effective for aphids.
Aphid.
Right. Mm. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks, from St. James.
Carol is in the Yunder up, in the Yunders. Mm. She's got Yunders in her Gunders. Hello, Carol.
Good morning, ladies. I sent a photo in.
Ah, good. Have you... Yunders in your Gunders. Have you Gunders or your okay, the Raffa's palm, yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Is yours meant to be variegated?
Yes, it is variegated.
Oh, thank heavens for that, because I was going to say.
It's
I don't
not
know.
Funny colour.
Okay, but it's wilting.
Oh, well, I don't know what to say.
Okay, so what what's happening here, Carol, is that the strain that makes your Raffa's palm variegated is weaker than the original plant, which is green. In most variegated plants, the green bit will come out because it's much stronger, from a much stronger gene pool, okay? So you will have to keep cutting off the green bits among the variegated leaves. And if you don't, then it will just become a common, everyday, ordinary green Raffa's palm that would cost you far less than what you paid for the variegated form.
Right.
Now,
so any green suckers that come up, I cut them off.
You cut them off, yep.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Otherwise, okay, it'll just revert back to the green form.
Right, okay. All right then.
So
I should be able to do that?
Yeah, you can do that today if you like, Carol.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, ladies.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
I'd like to give people chores on a Saturday. I mean, we get up and come to work. There's no reason why other people out there can't do chores.
Do you know what? When you said that, I just had this feeling like it doesn't feel like work being in here. I can't believe we get paid to do this. Anne in Cardinia. Hello, Anne.
Oh, good morning, girls.
Good morning, Anne.
Now, I have a feijoa that's finished fruiting a couple of weeks, well, a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I was getting up to 300 fruit a day.
Oh, my heavens above. Wow.
They weren't huge, but there's still quite a few decent size. So I bored all the neighbours to tears and keeping them as late as
possible. You're not allowed to walk down this street unless you take 20 feijoas.
Wow.
But now I'm wondering when is the best time to prune it.
Now.
It's still full of leaves. Yeah. Can I do it a big prune now or
you
just a small prune?
You most certainly can. You can give it a big prune now, Anne.
A third off all over?
Yeah, all over. Short, back and sides.
Trained them well.
I know. They know about the kerosene and the blackberry killer.
Oh, yeah.
They know the proportions of that.
It's been a while since we've had a munting.
Oh, we haven't had a munting, have we?
Weeks.
For a long time.
Which is good.
Some of the muntings are interesting. Yes, Anne.
Sorry.
Yes.
But I've just been given some clivias in pots, they're pot-bound, mm-hmm. by a friend of a friend,
mm-hmm.
and I've put them in the garden. Should I now chop all the tops off, or should I just leave them Ooh. To recover from being potted in the garden?
No, you can cut their little heads off.
Well, is that good for them?
Well, it promotes growth.
Okay.
Mm. So a different set of hormones come into play.
Okay. Yeah. And when will they flower?
Will they reflower?
When?
When? Oh, usually.
I'm positive here.
Yeah. Okay. So usually they're the first to flower sort of late winter.
Late winter. Mm. Great.
Yeah.
So just take a bit off the tops today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much for all your help.
Okay, thank you, Anne.
We have a couple of lines free, 1300 221 0025, if you would like to speak to the gardening goddess herself, Sabrina Hahn. She is here waiting. And we encourage you to discuss a munting.
Yeah.
If that's happening, and we can talk about the Sabrina Hahn scale of munting and how it goes from, alive to fully munted.
Yeah, munted so badly that... it's beyond help. I had a really interesting munting on my Brugmansia, the angel's trumpet.
So beautiful.
I've got three. I've got pink, I've got bright yellowy orange, and I've got white.
Are they flowering at the moment?
Yeah, they've gone gangbusters.
Oh, so jealous, yeah.
Plants can get this really weird virus. It's a cluster of viruses called mycoplasma. And so what happened to the front Brugmansia, the yellowy orange one, is it started getting all these really warty lumps at the base of the plant. The growth was still normal. It still flowered, still did everything normal. Apart from this weird, lumpy, fasciated growth at the bottom. And sometimes people get it in their hydrangeas. So the flower comes out really with a broad, flat stem, and then the flowers can't colour. The flowers remain green. So you get this bright green, flattened, huge flower on the hydrangea. And it's called fasciation. So if anyone has had any fasciation on their plants, let us know, because I think it goes to just about anything.
Is it related to plantar fasciitis?
Well, that's kind of like
Similar
a weird
words,
warty isn't growth, it? Isn't it?
Ooh, there you go. Robin is in Carlisle. Good morning, Robin.
Morning, ladies. How are you?
Yeah, good, Robin.
That's good. Sabrina, I've got a question for you. We're considering building a house on a side block.
Yeah.
And there's a big old bicifolia there. It's probably about 30 years old and probably about 12 to 15 metres high.
Yep.
So what I'm wondering is, what would be the minimum distance you could build away from that or disturb the root system with it? So we want to save it.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you can get 5 metres away, is that at all possible?
Yeah, we can work with that.
Yeah. I wouldn't go any closer than 5 metres.
Okay, so 6 would be good.
Yeah, 6 would be splendid.
Yeah, okay then.
Yeah.
All right.
And good on you, Robin, for wanting to save that tree rather than cut it down.
Yeah, we love the tree. It's a beauty.
Oh. Caller of the week.
Yeah, we love you, Robin.
Good on you, Keeper. Yay! You are listening to Roots and Shoots, where every now and then we get a little bit silly, and in case you missed this at the top of the show, here's our latest production.
This is an ABC podcast.
First, there was Burning Man, a festival in the desert.
Burning Man is dangerous, but so is life.
Now, an endless suburban drama.
How do I prune it? Like a heavy prune or
no.
A trim around the edges?
No chainsaw required, Les.
What the heck? You've gone too far this time, Barry.
A tale as old as gardening itself.
Get your CPAP machine. You're sleeping in the spare room until it grows back.
From the cast and crew of Blood and Bone, this is Pruning Man.
Oh, see, that's the kind of
gold
hard work I do here the
gold.
In the office.
That's the gold. Imagine, you know, how you have to do all the media stuff and all the news stuff to become a newsreader at the ABC and then you're reduced.
I'm going to dob on him too. He had to take his chewing gum out of his mouth and stick it somewhere when he was doing it. He's such a good sport. Linda is in Brabin. Hello, Linda. What's your question?
Good morning. I put lupin mulch down last spring.
Yeah.
And it looked lovely in
yeah.
a very small native garden on improved builder's sand, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Bassendean sand. At the moment, it looks really compacted.
Yep.
Will the water get through?
Sure
or
will.
Do I need to?
Well, even though it's compacted, the water is still going to go through and it's still going to do the job of keeping the moisture in that top layer of soil. If you are concerned, then you know those, you get the three-pronged hose.
Yes.
Hoe.
It's got the three prongs on it, and you can just rough it up a little bit. Like grab it and just rough it up a little bit.
I love those things.
I reckon they're awesome.
Yeah. Last night I watched the lyrebird episode bit on Gardening Australia. And
oh, yes.
Oh, is that what I should be doing in the garden?
Yeah, I know. They're, well, they do like to forage. So you can you just go out there and be the bird and forage with your fork.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks
but
for
I
calling.
I won't suffocate anything and I won't.
No, you won't. No, Linda, you won't. You won't.
Linda, thanks
Thank
for
you.
Calling. 1300 222 1025 is the number. Warren was is in Gosnells. Was from Gos.
Hello, Was.
How you going?
Yeah, pretty good.
That's the way. Just mucking around with veggie patch at the moment. I'm looking at the rhubarb. I want to try and get the stalk thicker.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Okay, so that's a potassium thing. So you're going to have to get sulfate of potash or liquid potassium and lay off the nitrogen. So no, don't give it poo or high nitrogen, like no lawn fertilizer on it was. So sulfate of potash, thicken up those stems.
Yeah, good-o.
There you go. Was from Gos.
Was from
simple,
the Gos.
Simple.
Are you happy with that, Was?
Yep. I've had my chainsaw license revoked by my son.
Okay. Oh, by your son. Another man revoking a
gosh.
Wow, you must have been.
What did you do?
I offered to trim up around his house, but he's seen me look when I get loose with a chainsaw, so he won't let me.
What sort of hedges you got that you're not allowed to touch?
No, it's trees.
Oh, trees. Right.
Oh, trees.
Yeah. You sound dangerous. I can tell. I'm with your son. Was, thanks for calling.
Yeah. See you, Was.
Maggie is in Netherlands. Hello, Maggie.
Hello, Maggie.
Hello. You caught me cooking.
Oh, what are you cooking?
Bacon and eggs. For my son's muffin.
Oh, that's so lovely.
Anyway, I'll turn that off.
Yes.
Okay, my question is, I've got two poinsettia trees that are not doing so well.
Yeah.
Can you dig them up and transplant them, and if you can, when?
Okay, you're certainly not going to be doing it now. How long have the poinsettias been in the ground for?
Oh, 3-4 years.
How big are they now?
Pine, buckleaf trees, and they're not getting a lot of sun. And they're not coping well.
Yeah.
Said you've got to dig them out, and I'm wondering whether they can be dug out and moved to someone else.
Well, the only time you would be able to do that, Maggie, is in October, November.
October, November.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll need to give it a good hard prune. You're going to take 50% off the top and then try and get as much root system as you can. They may not survive, but you can certainly give it a crack.
Okay. Now, do I prune now or...
No pruning until you're ready to dig them up.
Okay, okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Maggie.
Would you prune a lily pilly hedge this time of year?
Yep, you can prune lily pillies any time apart from November through to March.
Okay. Helena is in Dunsborough. Hello, Helena.
Good morning, girls.
Good morning, Helena.
Sabrina, I grew up using Roundup or glyphosate.
Yep.
And, I don't know how I survived all these years because I use a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
But my daughter, who doesn't like gardening, so I do her gardening, which I'm happy to do, but I'm not use it in her garden because, one, she's got little kids and
So
my question is, what's the best alternative not using it on weeds?
Okay, so if it is a broad spectrum of weeds, so you can get selective herbicides that just kill a certain type of plant that is not glyphosate. A new herbicide has just come out, and if you stay on the line, I can't give you product names, all right? But it's a brand new one. I haven't done much research on it. So I'm going to hand you back to David and he can direct you to what it is that you can use.
Oh, great, because she's talking of just use boiling water, Mum.
Well, there's plenty of... there's plenty of other things that you can use that are organic. So, you know, there's things that have got the pelargonic acid in them and that works really, really effective and that doesn't harm anyone. So she could use that, but it's not effective on all weeds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pop you back.
And then I'll tell you what this other one is that that is a new weed killer.
Okay, popping you on hold for David, and we'll go to Geordie. In the meantime, we will go to Geordie in Kewdale. Hi, Geordie.
Hey, ladies. I have a question for you. I have a fiddly fig, actually three fiddly figs in my sunroom.
Yeah.
And they're growing really it's growing really, really tall. So it's about, I'd probably say, 6.5 meters now.
Yes.
I'm tired of pruning the top of it and I want to notch it, but I don't know how to do that.
Okay. So you want to, when you say you want to notch it, do you want to prune it? I mean,
no, I want the leaves to start growing lower down on the fiddle
leaf. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So with the fiddle leaf fig, you need to, if you want it to branch lower down, you have to actually expose it to more sunlight. Because the leaves up the top are so big, they actually shade the area below. So you'll need to give it more sunlight. You will need to prune 50% off it.
Okay.
And then you're going to be left with sort of a stick.
Yeah.
Which I know doesn't look very appealing, Geordie, but so you can start by, it depends what, how much space you've got there and how much space around the fiddle leaf fig. So if you just prune a third off, you'll get a bit more growth in the upper part but not the lower part. If you take 50% off, it's going to start shooting from the bottom if it gets a bit more light.
Okay.
Mm. Does that sound reasonable?
It does. I don't want to have a stick in the house, but I guess I'll have to make do for a while.
There's downtime in gardens because then spring is lovely.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Snuggle up. Enjoy winter. Just look at your stick and read a poetry.
Give it a cup of tea. They love a cup of tea.
Geordie, thanks for calling. Good on ya. Evelyn is in Ludlow. Hello, Evelyn. What's your question for Sab?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sabrina. I belong to a group at Ludlow that are responsible for the protection of the little settlement and the Ludlow Forest.
Oh, I love you guys. You Hello, do the most Sabrina. Amazing job.
Well, we have some mulberry trees, which I think you have seen.
I have.
And I have got a problem because we have a committee and I'm very protective of these trees. And they've been there for 150 years, fruiting from the 24th of December to the end of February. And they are not pruned and they have big skirts that are protecting the soil underneath the trees.
Yep.
And my thought is that if we prune them, we maybe would need to start watering them, or because they seem to be able to look after themselves at the moment. So,
yeah.
But I did say that I would ask Sabrina for advice.
Okay, I'm pleased you did, because really old mulberry trees, Evelyn, you cannot hard prune them. And if you do, it exposes them to really awful fungal diseases, and their health goes down pretty quickly. So you can prune them, but it must be a light prune. And what most people do with old trees is they take a section of the tree each year. If it needs pruning, then you only prune one third of the tree that year, and then the next year you do a different third, and the next year the next third. So you do it over a 3-year period, but you cannot prune them hard.
And what will happen if I don't prune them at all?
Nothing. They'll be happy as they've been for the last 150 years.
Could you say that again, just in case everybody's listening?
Okay. So Evelyn, in the Ludlow community where you are, those 150-year-old mulberry trees do not require pruning, and if they are pruned incorrectly, they will suffer. And they may get a fungal disease, and at 150-year-olds, it would be enough to actually, they'd go backwards and eventually die.
Very resounding. Leave them alone.
I do appreciate that. And if you happen to be at Ludlow, please come next weekend and have a look at our art competition.
Oh.
And because we've got a portrait of a tree happening. We've got 150 artists presenting single trees with their GPS coordinates.
Oh, wow.
So you can find the tree on Google Earth, and it's just magical.
Do you know what, Evelyn? I think we might get you on the show next week to have a chat about that, because it sounds like a really brilliant event.
It's so exciting. I can't believe it.
Portraits of a tree. Can I pop you back on hold and I'll get David to grab your number?
Thank you.
Thanks,
Evelyn. Thanks, lovely to talk to you again.
Bryony is in Bayswater. Hi, Bryony.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, good, Bryony.
Is Ludlow in Western Australia? Because
yes.
I would like to go and see trees.
Okay, so Ludlow is a part of the forest areas down there. It used to be an old wood mills were there.
A milling town.
Yeah, milling town. So it's not, it's like an hour, it's down near Bunbury, Busselton, down around that area.
Okay. Might have to make a little drive next weekend.
I think you should.
Thank you. I have a question about pumpkins and blossom end rot.
Yes.
I have, so my partner and I live at different properties.
Yep.
He had some pumpkins, I think they were Jap pumpkins, come up in his backyard out of the compost heap. Mm-hmm. Last year, and we had issues with blossom end rot. And I did some research, and I gave them more air space around them, and I hand pollinated my flowers.
Yep.
And I managed to get one solid pumpkin out of it. Everything else dried up and fell off.
Yeah.
And then I'm growing now a butternut squash at my house in my hydroponic setup.
Yeah.
And I've got the same issue. It's come back, but a completely different property. So I'm like trimming leaves away to make sure it's getting airflow, and I'm hand pollinating, but they're still falling off, and I just don't know how to get pumpkins out of it.
Okay, so part of the problem with blossom end rot, it's the way in which the plant can absorb calcium. So if there's an imbalance somewhere else, then it means that the calcium can't get into the cells that develop the fruit. So okay. That's why people will, you know, they'll use a bit of dolomite lime in the soil before they plant their tomatoes and capsicums, cucumbers, pumpkins, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends really on the nitrogen level as well. So if there's something happening in the soil, it means that the calcium can't be absorbed. So the best way of doing that is to try and get a little bit of dolomite lime around the base of the plant so the calcium is there. Okay. A lot of our water, our bore water, is very high in calcium, but the plants can't access that because the soil is too alkaline. So if you get some liquid that is all the biological fungi and bacteria that's in soil, and you drench your pumpkins with that, plus put in a little bit of dolomite lime, that should kickstart the problem. But once you've got that calcium deficiency and your pumpkin's already developing fruit, it may well be a bit late, but I would definitely try it.
Okay. And so it's effectively the calcium in the soil can't be taken up?
Yes.
Or it's not enough calcium in the soil?
It's just they can't access the calcium that's there. So
dolomite
lime just means that it's in a more available form for the plant.
Right. Yep. And that's for soil-based pumpkins. What about if it's in my hydroponics?
In the
setup?
Hydroponics, you would have a very balanced fertilizer, so they should not be getting blossom end rot because of what you. Most of the hydroponic fertilizer is developed so that there's a good balance of everything. I don't know. I'd still have a crack at. I know that it's in. You've got it in a hydroponic system, but just sprinkle a little bit of dolomite lime around the base.
Okay.
I'd give that a
crack.
I won't
tell Aquaponics WA you said that.
Don't. I will be burnt at the cross.
Bryony, thanks for that.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. And Joanne is in Kalamunda. Hi, Joanne.
Yeah, hi, girls.
Hello.
Hi. I have a very, very huge, large old Mary tree that has had a bit of a battering recently. We're building not far from it, and there was a lot of bauxite rock that had to be broken and some of the roots were taken out. But then we had to prune quite hard along mainly one side.
Yeah.
And since then, it's gone through summer and hasn't had a lot of water, and it has had extra dirt put on top of it at the base.
Mm.
A lot of the leaves are dying, and I don't know what to do to hopefully try and get it to come.
You know what I would do? I would actually get an arborist out, Joanne.
It was an arborist that actually trimmed the tree for us, and he didn't say anything at the time.
Oh, don't get that arborist.
Okay.
Give him a one-star review on a place where you can get one-star reviews.
I'm really concerned about the soil level going up the trunk more than anything.
So can we drag that back again?
Yeah, I definitely would, Joanne. I would definitely be getting that soil away from the trunk. And then go and get yourself go and get stuff that will make it go better. Hint.
Okay. Right.
You're going to mix that in a watering can and drench around the base once you've removed the soil.
So how far, because it's a massive tree, so how far out from the trunk do I drench?
About a metre out from the trunk.
All right. And do I need to give it extra water anyway?
No, not just yet.
Okay.
You really need to make sure that the bark dries out where the soil was. You will definitely need to give it extra water this summer, Joanne. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. But so get it through winter.
Yeah, get it through winter and then give it some, a bit of loving in spring.
Because it's a foraging tree for the black cockies, so I'm trying to hang on to
save it.
Yeah. The other thing I've got is a 150-year-old jarrah that's actually given me a baby.
Oh.
Can I transplant?
Yes, you can. And
I can transplant?
Yeah, you can. And make sure you get as deep as possible. It's so lovely to have an offspring of your 150-year-old jarrah. That's so special.
The old tree's actually got a bit of decline in it.
Yeah.
And it's got a fig rubber tree thing next to it that on the neighbour's side.
Right.
And it seems to not like that. So
no.
I'm trying to.
I know what I'd be doing, getting rid of the bloody rubber tree. But anyway, yes, transplant that little baby.
Okay, yes.
Good luck with that.
Can I put it in a pot?
Yes, of course you can. Oh. Yep, absolutely. Okay. No problem.
And do they have a taproot?
Yep, they do. Yep.
Right.
You need to dig deep.
Joanne, good luck with that. Thanks for calling. Norm is in Marmion. Hi, Norm.
Hi, ladies. How are we going?
Fantastic.
Yeah, good, Norm.
Good. Look, I've got a fairly busy native area on my verge.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know if, when, and how long, how often I can fertilise it, and should I be using a particular brand that is sponsored by the Perth Gardening Guru?
I don't even know what they sponsor. I wouldn't know. Now, you can fertilise your native plants at least twice a year. And remember, native plants, West Australian ones in particular, their growth happens during the cooler months because in summer they know that they're just about to enter the gates of hell and they don't grow, they just survive. So now is a really good time to fertilise them. The thing to look in a fertiliser is you want no more than 1% phosphorus, right?
Okay.
You want a controlled or slow-release fertiliser that's in a prill.
Right.
And has not just NPK but has all the trace minerals in it as well. So,
okay.
Norm, you need to look at the back of the bag or the packet.
Okay, and would that be suitable for Boabs and Cycads as well?
Boabs and Cycads can have a different kind of fertiliser as long as it's more of a natural organic fertiliser.
Okay.
So they're a different kettle of fish there.
Sure, okay. Mm. Well, thank you for your help.
Okay, thanks Norm.
If Jeanette can be pretty quick with her miniature fig. Jeanette, tell me about your miniature fig. Yes.
Morning, ladies.
Hello.
I just want to know if I can prune the lower branch.
I've seen the photo. Of course you can, Jeanette. Yeah. Yes.
It won't leave much left.
It doesn't matter because it's going into dormancy now anyway.
Yes.
So I would definitely prune that lower branch off. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it says it's a low vigor tree should be fertilised regularly. So how often do I fertilise it?
Well, not now. So you don't fertilise it now until spring and then you'll do it again in summer and then that's it, twice a year. Beginning of spring, beginning of summer.
So summer.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeanette.
Thank you, Jeanette.
Have a lovely day.
Oh, you too. Here we go. Sue says, sorry I didn't get the hint for the medicine to get for the Mary tree. Oh, please can you send me that?
Oh, yeah, we'll do that.
Go, go, bird. Yep. Sounds like the arborist is more likely a tree lopper. That's probably sound advice. And Re-Armidale Garden Centre Club Fire and request for gardening books to replace lost library.
Oh,
so the Armidale Garden Centre needs donated books. Wendy, give me a call next Saturday and we'll see if we can really help out and fix that on our neighbourhood notice board segment. So give me a call next Saturday and I'll make sure to talk about that. That has been another edition of Roots and Shoots with our new documentary coming out. Called Pruning Man. It's like Burning Man, but it's where husbands get into trouble from their wives for pruning too much. Men who prune too much. There's a lot of them out there.
Oh, there's heaps.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.